This is Live and Local. It's your connection to local music and more. And our focus this week is going to be in large part on the second annual Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival taking place in and around downtown Urbana this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Thursday and Friday evenings and Saturday in the afternoon and the evening. Lots and lots of music, activities, workshops, jams, sessions of one kind or another. It's really just an incredible schedule. And you can find out all of the details at cufolkandroots.org. And we'll be, as I said, having highlights this week of some of the people coming along, including some live performances. We were supposed to have had one today with singer-songwriter Jeff Arrigo, but he had a family emergency and will not be able to make the show today. We will still, however, be talking with a member of the Hot Club of Cowtown, who are one of the headliners on Saturday evening at 8:45 until 10 o'clock on the main stage. And we'll be hearing lots of them on this show today, as well as that interview. Meanwhile, we'll be having some highlights from last year's festival, including a couple here by a group that will be back at the festival this year, I believe. I was looking through the schedule to just confirm that, and I think Mean Lids are going to be back. But in any case, they've been in our show once, and here they are live from last year's, the first annual CU Folk and Roots Festival. The tunes called Cherokee Trails and Glory in the Meeting House, grouped together, and then Morning Nightcap and Waiting on a Fence, also together. Mean Lids here on Live and Local. Thank you.
Thank you.
We heard the group called Mean Lids, and I did a switch from what I said I was originally going to do. I did play the first set of tunes that was live from last year's Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival called Cherokee Trails in Glory in the Meeting House. And then partly because I think they've had their membership change since last year, I played, and because I was just handed this last week, I played from their new CD, simply called Mean Lids, and they are flutist Miriam Larson, fiddler and guitar player and whistler and other things. Ben Smith also plays the baritone fiddle, which is still something I don't think I've seen. Or did he have that when he was live? They were live on the show. Now I'm forgetting. Matt Torino plays guitar, fiddle, and feet, as they call it here. He's the one with the tap. He sort of stomps on this stomp box, or whatever they call it, that you heard in the first set of tunes. The last one, though, was called Minnie's Waltz by Ben Smith, and that was from their new CD. The Mean Lids are actually going to be the very first people on the schedule for this year's second annual Folk and Roots Festival. They'll be at the Independent Media Center on Thursday evening at 7:30. Well, it's not literally true. No, yeah, they are the first thing on Thursday. I just got the schedule, and I'm trying to make sure I'm reading it correctly. But yeah, Thursday evening's events are all at the Independent Media Center. There's also the Duke of Uke and his Novelty Orchestra on Thursday evening, and a group called Those Darlins. I see that the Heartland Gallery scoops the Independent Media Center Thursday night for the first performance, and that's by David Llewellyn, who I hear is really quite good. He comes from Wales, singer-songwriter, and he's going to be at the Heartland Gallery Thursday night at 6 o'clock. That's also downtown Urbana. Everything's in and around downtown Urbana for the CU Folk and Roots Festival. You're listening to Live and Local, and we invite you to help support this program as well as other services you've come to rely on here at WYLL, which include accurate news, and we hope you agree, it's engaging music. You can help us build a member match fund for our upcoming pledge drive, which will take place next month. Your gift of $25, $50, or $75 or more to the fund will add some excitement and value to that pledge drive and also help us keep it short. Please mail your check to WYLL Radio at 300 North Goodwin, Urbana, Illinois, 61801. Again, that's WYLL Radio, 300 North Goodwin Avenue, Urbana, 61801. Or, if it's easier, you can give online at willpledge.org, and we'll put your contribution into the member match fund for that upcoming pledge drive. We'll be having some live performers on this week's Live and Local from the CU Folk and Roots Festival, among them singer-songwriters Kevin Elliott and John Elder. Well, John Elder, I don't know if he's a songwriter, but he sings all kinds of old songs. He's almost one of those walking encyclopedias of old tunes. We don't have him recorded from last year, although I suppose I could have pulled one off of his appearance last year. Except he'll be back with us live on Wednesday, so we'll just save that. He's been one of my favorite guests, so I'm looking forward to Wednesday. And forgetting who's on tomorrow, I'll check that in a little bit. Here's a group that was on last year's festival, and they'll be back this year. They play quite regularly here in Urbana at the Rose Bowl. It's a bluegrass group called Corn Desert Ramblers. They're going to host a bluegrass jam on Saturday afternoon. Actually from 11:30 to 1 at the Iron Post. Here are the Corn Desert Ramblers from last year's festival. We'll hear Sitting on Top of the World and Cherokee Shuffle. That Mississippi River's boat deep and wide, that gambler Corn Desert Ramblers from the first annual CU Folk and Roots Festival last September. We heard them in Sitting on Top of the World and Cherokee Shuffle. They were recorded live, and they're going to be hosting a bluegrass jam on Saturday afternoon at the second annual festival at the Iron Post in downtown Urbana. That starts at 11:30, actually, in the morning on Saturday and continues until 1 o'clock. CU Folk and Roots Festival is full of jams and lots of performances with a number of headliners, in addition to lots of local individual players and groups. And one of the headliners is a group from Austin, Texas, called the Hot Club of Cowtown. And I have an interview coming up with one of their members, guitarist Whit Smith, who's also one of the singers. There's just three in the group, and all three of them sing. And they are going to be performing Saturday evening. That's the final evening of the festival at the main stage at 8:45 until 10 o'clock. They are actually, I believe, the last of the main stage performers and kind of the culmination of the festival. So we're very pleased to have had that chance to have the interview. And here is something from their Best Of CD, the Best of the Hot Club of Cowtown. Of course, they're still young, so there's lots more to come. This is called Ida Red. Obviously an enthusiastic crowd for the Hot Club of Cowtown from their Best Of CD. It's called Ida Red. Here on Live and Local, I'm Kevin Kelly. Programs today are made possible with support from the Champaign-Urbana Symphony, presenting Classics 1 at 7:30 p.m. this Saturday, September 25th, in the Follinger Great Hall at Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. Mark Baldin joins the symphony to perform Mark Lathan's Trumpet Concerto. My guest on this portion of Live and Local is Whit Smith, who is guitarist and vocalist with a group called the Hot Club of Cowtown, who are one of the headliners for the upcoming Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival. They're going to be at the festival performing as the band this Saturday evening on the main stage. And two of their members are going to be doing seminars or workshops on Saturday afternoon. Whit is going to do one on swing guitar on Saturday from 3 to 4. And then Ilana James?
Ilana
James, okay. An Introduction to Fiddle Improvisation. Thanks very much for joining us on the show.
Thank you, Kevin. Thanks a lot.
And where have I caught you during this conversation?
I actually am at my home in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I currently live in Austin, Texas, and Tulsa, Oklahoma at the same time.
How do you manage that?
back and forth.
Is the band, I read that the band is based in Austin. Is that kind of true?
That's totally true. The band is based in Austin. I moved up here to Tulsa for a short while, and then am in the process of moving back to Austin right now, actually. But coincidentally, I ended up moving about three blocks away from the Canes Ballroom, which is where Bob Wills and his Texas Playboys played basically every day at lunch hour, and then became quite famous right here in Tulsa at Canes Ballroom.
Well, and you guys, have you played the chain? You say James or Kings Ballroom?
Canes. It was the Canes. It was a dancing academy that became a ballroom, and I think they started in the 20s, actually, and Bob Wills came here in the 30s, and the rest is history. It's still there. It's still there, you bet.
But has your band played there?
Yeah, we have, you bet. We played there once for Bob Wills' birthday, and then we've done several engagements there just, you know, throughout over the years.
Well, it seems like you probably must have done a gig just about everywhere because you've been traveling for, what, a decade and a half now, something like that?
Yeah, that's right. We have played in every state. I don't know if we've hit all the best venues, but we've played a lot.
Well, I bet you're getting better venues now than you used to.
Yeah, it definitely has improved. But, you know, it's the crowds. It's up to the crowds.
Well, talk about what makes a good venue for you, because I can imagine that, as you say, varies by the crowd, and it doesn't necessarily have to do with what type of space is it, or does it?
No, you're right, it doesn't. I mean, you know, if people know what we're doing, that's always nice, if they're big fans of, you know, Western Swing or something. But on the other hand, we do very well at festivals where we're exposed to audiences that were just coming to be, you know, just because they were curious, came out to see all kinds of music. Because we play, it's a little hard to nail us down as to what exactly the style of music is we're playing.
Yeah, I was going to ask you to try to do that.
Well, it's, you know, in a nutshell, it's basically a version of Western Swing from probably the late 30s or the 40s. But, you know, that's, I'm just trying to be very mundane and just when I say it that way. It's a lot of energy, high energy. Basically, you know, there's a guitar and it's like an archtop old jazz guitar and a violin and a big string bass. So it's suitable for, you know, some people may think it's like bluegrass, but it's to a real bluegrass fan, it wouldn't be. It's hard. It's a hard alley to go down. It's very rambunctious, sincere, energetic music with which takes a lot of skill.
And you have, you've got some reference to Django Reinhardt in your, yep, certainly in your name.
Yeah. For people familiar with the Hot Club of France, Django Reinhardt and Stephen Grappelli, they were very popular in the 30s in Paris. They were a string band, you know, violins and guitars, and they played swing and popular music of the day. And they are still influential on people who play a variety of styles, and they're definitely an influence on us. And the Western bands used to, you know, at the dances, Bob Wills certainly would play popular songs of the day as well as, you know, fiddle tunes. So that's where the term Western Swing, you know, derived from. And many of the members of his band were fans of the Hot Club of France, as well as Louis Armstrong and people like that, too. So, you know, it can get a little abstract if you're not familiar with all those older styles, but the key for us is that it's, you know, we enjoy it and love it and fresh. And if I may be so bold, we're trying to be contemporaries of them, even though we're obviously many years later.
It's kind of funny on this show, we've had, you will be the third, this is the third conversation we've had with a group that has something to do with Django Reinhardt. We had a trio with exactly your instrumentation last week on the show, played live for us, and they simply call themselves the Music of Django Reinhardt. And then we had the Hot Club of Detroit.
Oh, yeah.
Was here at the Iron Post in Urbana, and they're a brilliant group. And they have very different instrumentation, and they take off from Django Reinhardt and really go far beyond. But so I've just been reading a little bit more about him as a player, and I guess I hadn't known much before, for example, that he was this two-fingered guitarist somehow or another. How much do you pattern your own guitar playing on his style? How much on his style?
Well, for guitar players, it's a little hard to say. There have been times where I was very, you know, I paid a lot of attention to his records and would learn things from his records, but he made many, many recordings. Fortunately, there are probably hundreds of recordings of him. The thing is he was listening to American swing and jazz bands that have sort of been forgotten, and, you know, his name remained. And I'm not trying to take anything from him, but so there's many, you know, resources and influences to learn from if you like swing. And he was of, you know, not a lot of people were playing the melodies and the improvisations on the guitar before that time. So, I don't know, you have to dig around pretty hard, or you have to go and reinterpret it. Say, I'm going to play my guitar like Nat King Cole plays the piano, or Louis Armstrong plays the trumpet. I'm going to learn those lines on the guitar. If you play a Louis Armstrong riff on the guitar, it sounds like Django Reinhardt. I'm stretching it a little, but that's just as much of an influence for actually all of us in the Hot Club of Cowtown. Just, you know, we listen to lots of older styles. In the beginning, getting back to your questioning more exact, in the beginning, I listened to him quite a bit. And I didn't really try to pattern myself. Our whole band, no one tried to pattern themselves after the Hot Club of France. We used that name, the Hot Club, at the time, 15 years ago. It was almost a little comical to have a Hot Club, which sort of bands that play Hot Club music now wear tuxedos and play gypsy guitars and things. And at the time, we were sort of being, I guess, we were giving it a little relief, comic relief, by adding the Cowtown to the end, which also, of course, drummed up Western ideas, and we were playing Bob Wills music. It gets really hard to be technical about this stuff.
Well, and then you got your start in Greenwich Village.
Yeah, I know.
Which really doesn't make any sense there.
I know. Well, the first place I heard Western music was I worked at Tower Records in New York City, and they, you know, one of my jobs was restocking the records, LP records and CDs, and I was intrigued by what I heard. You know, the reps would come in from Rounder Records and places like that, and they were distributing Bob Wills records and old Capitol country records, and I was like, what is all this? Because I used to listen to Led Zeppelin. So, and I had started to get into jazz music. I liked jazz a great deal, but I really couldn't play it. I remember trying to transcribe some Bud Powell, who was a bebop piano player, onto the guitar, and you know, it wasn't really coming from a very organic place, quite honestly. I didn't, you know, I could mimic it, but I didn't really know what I was doing. And when I heard the swing stuff, it had an energy that I related to, and it had a deceivingly simple melodic quality. You know, you could whistle back what you heard if you wanted to. You could hear, you know, you could remember the melodies, and the structure was more like rock and roll in a sense. So I think there was something in that grafted, you know, I grafted to it pretty, adapted that quicker than I did just straight jazz, and I found I really loved it. And I think, actually, getting back to a more, you know, simple thing to understand is loving it comes across. You know, when you play something, if you really love it, people pick up on that. If you play with energy and sincerity, they can tell right away.
And here's a sample of that from the Hot Club of Cowtown's most recent CD from 2009. It's called Wishful Thinking, and this tune is called What You Meant to Me.
You meant to me. How's time gonna change or rearrange what you meant to me?
Tune called What You Meant to Me, the Hot Club of Cowtown. Alana James, fiddler and vocalist. The other rest of the group is Jake Irwin, bass and vocals, and Whit Smith, guitar and vocals. And we'll continue my interview here on Live and Local with Whit Smith. The Hot Club of Cowtown will be performing Saturday night at the second annual Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival on the main stage, beginning at 8:45. I was having a conversation with a psychologist just the other day about whether people really have aptitude for things like jazz and improvisation and so on, or whether you can be taught to have the aptitude for it, and I'm curious to know what your opinion is of that notion. And I'll just sort of interject first that it seems, I don't think I have the aptitude for it. I'm a classically trained musician. I can read music really well. I can sight read extremely well. But when it comes to anything that I consider to be sort of free and off the page, I don't think I've got the aptitude for it. How do you think that works?
Well, I think there's an element of a talent or charisma that comes out in certain people's playing, and then that's just some of that shows up more if it's nurtured more, or they're lucky, or they're in the right place at the right time, or maybe just taste, maybe just a person's taste. I think you can teach people how to do it. And then it just boils down to, that more elusive element of taste and talent. And that's just really unfair to judge. I'll tell you what is tangible is hard work. I mean, if you say you don't know how, if you you don't feel like you really are strong at improvising, you have to ask yourself, well, how many hours this week did you work on?
Yeah.
If you said 60, then I'd be like, well, yeah, after a few months of 60 hours a day and you don't think you're getting anywhere, there's a lot of other things to do in life. But on the other hand, I'll bet you, even 20 hours a week would reveal an entirely different, probably a different opinion anyhow.
Yeah. Well, you're going to be presenting a swing guitar workshop, I guess, on Saturday as part of the CU Folk and Roots Festival. So how are you going to approach that? Are you going to assume that, I assume you're going to assume that people can play the guitar, but beyond that?
It's best when you go to a seminar that you can play some. I think it's best. Maybe not. Maybe it doesn't matter. It just depends on the... I think it would be pretty boring if you didn't play the guitar. But I kind of have three different things, I guess. Off the top of my head, I would say I do like the scholarly side of music, like how you can look, and that's pretty easy to share with anybody who's interested. You don't necessarily have to be a player, or if you are a player, you could be, different levels would not really matter so much when you talk about it in a historical way, because it's a whole lot easier to understand the language than it is to, learn something via language and then actually get it under your fingers and, have a relationship with your brain and your fingers and all that new information. So there's a side that I like to address, because when I was learning, and I still am learning, and I still do this always, is understanding, what records or what recordings or what years or what styles influence each other or happened at the same time. I think that's an interesting thing to touch on. And then some really basic things like about melody, and certain kind of structural things, not really difficult, not really using simple language for that stuff. All those things pretty much anyone could follow. And then because, I play the guitar and many people will bring guitars out, then, you get down to, part of the seminar, probably even the largest part of the seminar, would be, actually playing some chords. And usually when you're showing a seminar, one of the tricks is that, you'll have a number of people there of different level, so you have to gauge. You have to introduce all the ideas in a way that the lower, less advanced people can have something to work on throughout the class as you progress forward into something a little more sophisticated and keep it interesting for the advanced players. So I have some experience with that, and it usually goes over pretty well. I mean, if you walk away from a seminar and you've learned one or two things, I think that's worth the price of admission right there.
Do you have your guitar with you?
Not in my lap right now. I'm sitting out in the patio watching the dog chase the squirrel.
Oh, I was just going to ask if it was possible to sort of show us. This is basic swing guitar versus basic some other, guitar.
Oh, yeah.
But not with the dog chasing the squirrel.
I don't know that it would come across on the phone.
Well, it might not. It might not.
But that's nice idea. That seminar is going to be all about.
Yeah.
Swing guitar is a substantial subject.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to cut out that little reference there because I didn't know where you were sitting. So when you go from venue to venue, from town to town, expecting that different towns may be more familiar with certain traditions. Do you vary at all your playlist or the songs you choose to play depending upon where you are or not?
Yeah, it's not exactly a regional thing. It really just depends on the venue and what the people seem to be reacting to. We don't use a set list, so to speak. We usually have a list of upwards of 60 songs, maybe 40 songs, but just a bunch of songs on a couple of napkins or pieces of paper or something that was handy to write on. That usually has about maybe 10 songs that we almost always play because we're just sort of known to play, or maybe another 10 or so that we're all really in the mood to play. And then we lean on, for instance, if we were playing a jazz nightclub, we play the Dakota Room in Minneapolis sometimes, and we will lean more on the swing side of things, and compositions we might have made up, written ourselves that sound more like a Django Reinhardt, or I always say Django Reinhardt and Louis Armstrong because those are my two favorite jazz artists to draw from. But if we're doing Green Hall down in Texas, just south of Austin, on a Sunday afternoon, and there's lots of boots and hats out, then we'll get much more hardcore Western swing and play the 30s and 40s Bob Wills hits and the not so hits. He recorded hundreds of songs too that many people have forgotten, and really good ones too. So anyway, we sort of temper the set to how the audience is reacting.
But I'll bet in Champaign-Urbana, or specifically in Urbana on Saturday, because it is such a widely versed audience, I'd like to think, you'll probably be doing a little of everything.
Yep, which is fine by us, too. Really, totally fine.
Before I let you go, Whit, why don't you talk a little bit about your latest album, which is what we're actually playing some tunes from in the course of this conversation, Wishful Thinking.
All right. Well, Wishful Thinking starts off with a Western Swing song, and we were definitely known as a Western Swing band when we started. And then as it evolves along, we kind of push the envelope a bit. So it has some drums on it, which is a first for us. Nothing really bombastic, but it has some songs which almost remind me of a spaghetti Western or almost movie-like songs. And then it has, I think it might have a gypsy song and some hoedown tunes on it too, so it's eclectic. But even our look on that record was kind of different. We've actually made another record since then, but it's not available yet. But it's very hard in your mind not to think about what you've actually done and what's out there. Wishful Thinking. It might be our best sounding record. It was made at Congress House in Austin. It's a very nice, sounding. But it was a bit of a departure. Sometimes if someone was going to listen to us for the first time, I would almost suggest there was a best of compilation, and there's a live record called Continental Stomp. And those sound a lot like the band sounds when we're, right in front of you playing.
Hmm.
So it's a little tricky. We've kind of experimented, and you don't always get a lot of people aren't always happy with that. Sometimes they like you because you do a certain thing and they want to rely on that. And I often make a food analogy. Like if they want pizza and you serve them sushi, no matter how good the sushi is, they're still going to be a little disappointed they didn't get pizza.
That's right.
So the newest record, which will be available at probably the end of the year, if not the beginning of next year, is called What Makes Bob Holler, and that is a Bob Wills tribute CD. So we'll see if we can regain some ground with that.
Well, you've got 11 different ones so far. I guess that'll be the 12th if I'm counting right off your discography.
Yeah, there are. I mean, we've been at it for, like you said, nearly, it's going on 15 years. I met Alana in 94.
And according to your website, you opened the door in big furry slippers, which you probably have never lived down.
People like to remind me of that all the time.
Well, it's in your bio, so they're gonna do it. I would never have known otherwise. Well, thanks, Whit, very much. I'm looking forward to hearing you guys on Saturday. It's Whit Smith, who is guitarist and one of the three members who also all sing of the Hot Club of Cowtown. They're going to be among the headliners at the CU Folk and Roots Festival, and they're performing on Saturday evening, the 25th, at, where's the time here, 8:45 until 9 on the main stage, and then Whit is giving a swing guitar workshop on Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock, and the fiddler, Ilana James, is going to give an introduction to fiddle improvisation also at 3 o'clock, and I like the one of the quotes here given from various places who were writing reviews about you guys, where this person says, if rosin were flammable, violinist Ilana James would be charged with arson, which makes it sound pretty fiery and exciting.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us on the show.
Kevin, thank you for your time. Thanks, everybody.
My pleasure. And here is another cut from their more recent CD, although not yet from the one that they most recently put in the can. This one is the Wishful Thinking CD from 2009, and the song is called If You Leave Me.
If you leave me, have to take me with you. I won't let you leave without a fight. That's forever, I belong to you and you to me. Believe me, we belong together, you and me forever and a day. If you leave me, you'll have to take me with you, cause that's where I want to stay.
Hot Club of Cowtown, If You Leave Me, from their Wishful Thinking CD, here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. On tomorrow's show, we'll have some samples and a preview of an event called, and I just blanked on it. Where did it go? Words in the Wind is the second annual event, that actually an WILL event of poetry and rather stories being acted out, sort of, for kids. And also on the show from the CU Folk and Roots Festival this season, it's the group, local group that plays Cuban music called Sandunga. They'll be playing live for us here in our studio. And some other things going on in our area over the next few days. The University of Illinois New Music Ensemble is performing tonight and tomorrow night at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts in Urbana, tonight at 7:30, also tomorrow night at 7:30. At Aroma Cafe in downtown Champaign, it's Carolina Story. That's at 7 o'clock tonight. Maria and Company are playing at Luna in downtown Champaign in the old train station from 12 to 3 tomorrow. The Corn Desert Ramblers, who we heard earlier on today's show, will be at the Rose Bowl Tavern, their weekly gig in downtown Urbana. That's at 9 o'clock tomorrow night. Piano Man, as always, is Tuesday night at 9 o'clock at the Canopy Club in Urbana on the U of I campus. And, the New Music Ensemble playing also on Wednesday night. Sorry, I missed that one, at the Krannert Center at 7:30. At Parkland College Theater, it's Duck Hunter Shoots Angel by Mitch Albom. That opens Wednesday at 7:30 and continues for the next couple of weekends. A group called Samba Soul is playing at the Iron Post downtown Urbana Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And then the CU Folk and Roots Festival starts Thursday evening and runs through Saturday evening with shows Thursday and Friday evening and then Saturday afternoon and evening. For more information, go to cufolkandroots.org. We'll have decreasing clouds this afternoon with a high around 85. Mostly clear tonight. The low will be near 65. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high temperature around 92 degrees. Today's broadcast is supported in part by the second annual Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival, September 23rd, 24th, and 25th in and around downtown Urbana. The festival features over 70 artists performing blues, jazz, old-time, Cajun, bluegrass, and Irish music with storytelling and more. Schedules and information are at cufolkandroots.org. And we have support today from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays from noon to 4 in the Bouvons Tasting Room. More information is at thecorkscrew.com. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WYL FM and HD1 and HD2 Urbana, with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville. WYL is a member supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. The Writer's Almanac is coming up just over a minute, and then classical music at 106. We'll go out with one more from the Hot Club of Cowtown. It's from their Best of CD.
This one, my dad said that we had to put on the record, so we're going to do it.
One, two, three.